Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Talking about wonderful wife.
So we've been having a series called The Humanity In. We had the humanity in pastors. Mm-hmm. Some time ago, we had the humanity in parents. We had the humanity in parents. And today, we want to talk about the humanity in PKs. So if you don't know what a PK is, it's a pastor's kid or a pastor's child. And some of the expectations that are put on pastor's children. My husband and I actually went to a camp a few months ago where a pastor's child had authored a book, and she wrote a book about the struggles of being a pastor's child and how that works kind of counter to your salvation walk. So we've all been in churches. What are some of the things you've seen being said to PKs and being expected of PKs?
You know, I feel like pastor's children are just expected to take the back end and to be perfect. You know, they are to be perfect. They are to share their parents at all costs, anytime. But if we find them at the mall with their children, you know, it's a time to get a word from the pastor. So there's just a lot that they have to stomach while also not being human, you know, because they are the pastor's children. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to be perfect. They're supposed to get it right. They're supposed to dress well. They can't have a stage where they are toddlers. You know, if it's a naughty toddler, they're demonized or something like that. If they're going through their teenage years and they're rebelling just like all of our children do, then something's wrong with the pastor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the children have to literally carry the reputation of the church with them in everything they do. Mm-hmm. You know, which is, it's not fair. You know, it's not fair to the child simply because they are children. You know, some of them can't even watch, you know, normal, just a cartoon, we probably expect them to be watching Hillsong.
You know, what's interesting is that the call is on the parents. The parents accepted the call. So when the parents reached the age of spiritual maturity, they began to understand that, oh, this is how the Lord wants me to work or walk. But even the parents, when they were their children's ages, when they were teenagers, when they were, God forbid, toddlers, you know, when would a toddler know that they're called, you know, they also went through their own journey that brought them to the place of understanding where they should be. And it's kind of like, as congregants, we think that by proxy, the children have been called with the parents. Yes. And now the children must carry the burden of the parents' call. And then there's an expectation that, no, this child must be in ministry. And I've found a lot with pastors' children, the pressure to feel like they must also continue in the exact same call as their parents. Maybe they want to sing. Maybe they want to dance. Maybe they want to act. And because of how we see ministry, now, one of the last episodes, we were talking about what ministry looks like. And we came to the conclusion that to minister the word of God or the life of God is to just be in purpose, to do what he told you to do, right? David wasn't called to do what Jesse did necessarily, but Solomon was called to do something similar to what David did, right? Yeah. And so there are some children within the family who will feel that deep call to the pulpit, and there are other children who will feel a call to the doctor's office or the lawyer's office, and they're not given the freedom to work out their salvation. Yes. So I just quickly want to go into scripture and talk about that. It's Philippians 2 verse 12 that says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So all of us have to work out this salvation with God. And sometimes the working out is messy. I actually love what you say about working out. You say that there's two types of working out. I just want you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So if I found you at the gym and I told you, yeah, okay, you're going to do work that out for me. You know, you're going to take the work out in a physical sense, you know, so you're going to start pumping all this heavy weights, you know, because, you know, you're working out and you're at the gym. But if we find you in the maths class and we use the same word, work that out for us, you're not mental going work. To go physical, yeah. but you're going to do mental calculation. So sometimes when we read the scripture, because we come from a law perspective, we always look at it from a perspective of works. Mm-hmm. So the gym workout, mm-hmm. you know, but there's an aspect of this workout that is the mental, the calculation, mm-hmm. that really looking into what does salvation mean, mm-hmm. you know. And I love the fact that when we look at the origin of that word, mm-hmm. they're actually not speaking about the works,
exactly.
but the calculation, the understanding, mm-hmm. just how much Christ has really done. Because mm-hmm. a lot of us, we understand salvation mm-hmm. from our perspective. So mm-hmm. if I prayed this morning, I'm a good Christian. You know, if I didn't pray for a week, oh, I'm a bad Christian. You know, but the blood of Jesus is not, you know, looking at your temperature mm-hmm. to see, okay, today the blood works, tomorrow it doesn't work. You know, salvation does not care how you're feeling today. Some of you, you're not saved on a Monday, you know. You're super saved on a Sunday. You know, it's almost like between Monday and Sunday, you know, your salvation goes somewhere. But the Lord wants us to understand the fullness of it. Mm-hmm. And especially when we look at pastors' children, we as a church have been very guilty of not supporting them mm-hmm. as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. not viewing them as children, yeah. not reaching out to them mm-hmm. just to be like, hey, your parents reach out to us. Let us, you know, do you need a friend? Do you need
and
an aunt you can vent with?
Not allowing them to make mistakes.
You know?
And you know what's interesting? When I think of PKs, I think of child stars. You know when we judge child stars and we're like, oh, how could this person be so messed up? Listen, PKs are child stars in a very small context. Mm. And we see what happens to them. How much more these child stars that have been put on the world stage. So that's a perspective to kind of look at
yeah.
what it does to a child to be under a microscope. Mm. And the problem with being under a microscope is that they have to make their mistakes in front of you.
Yep.
You know, when we talk about how we worked out our salvations with Christ, we tend to say, God took me out of a pit. Ooh, I was a Daniel. Ooh, there were lions in my den, you
yeah.
know. And God pulled me out of that dirty, ratchet place. We're able to testify about it without shame and condemnation, mm-hmm. partly because nobody saw us, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. partly because you weren't there. Mm-hmm. So when I say, I, Letitia, used to be like this, people are like, oh, not you. And it's easy to do that because you didn't see that. But you
had
need
that
to,
privacy.
Yes, we had privacy. They yeah. don't have privacy. And so in the same way that we feel called to pray for the pastors that are leading us, let's feel called to pray for the actual PKs because their family dynamics are a little bit different than ours. But now I also want to speak to the PKs as mm-hmm. well. There's this feeling that, you know, and this is what I heard when we were at this PKs conference and people were speaking. Oh, because my parents were pastors, it ruined my life, you know, because mm-hmm. of the hours and et cetera and et cetera. But the truth is, every home has its context.
Yep.
The problem with trauma is that it doesn't have context. You think it's you, it's everyone, it's everywhere. But there's something called doctor's children syndrome. Mm-hmm. There's also something called therapist's children syndrome. So whichever home you are in, there's always something you have to face that has to do with whatever it is your parents are involved in. Mm. And it's important to know that you're not less favored because you're a PK. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a doctor's child. I was in a community with doctor's children. And that's tough, too, because they're never there either.
Yeah,
right.
On.
And so it's easy for me to say, oh, I'm like this because dad was never home. But the truth is that same Philippians 2:12 that says to work out your salvation means you're working it out as a PK. You're working it out as a doctor's child.
That's true.
You're working it out as a therapist's child. A lot of therapist's children feel like their parents only show compassion and understanding at work.
That's
they
true.
Don't feel, they're like, Mom, When you get home, you never understand. You don't make an effort to understand me. You're always understanding your patients, right? Mm. And so it's important to understand that the salvation that, you know, Danny was explaining just now, it's for you too. And the issue with making mistakes in front of people is that they make it a bigger deal than God does. And that perspective also has to change. You're not surprising God with your downfall or your mistake or whatever it is that has happened that has gotten the church talking. You're not surprising God. God knew everything ahead of time. And so he has already prepared that salvation for you. And there's no reason you should feel more condemned. You know, scripture says, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's your portion too. The scriptures that your parents are reading are not special scriptures packaged for the people behind row one. It's even for your parent that's reading the scripture. And so I just want to speak to the PK to say that your journey with God is still unique. It's still individual. It may feel like it's under a microscope inside your little congregation, but to the eyes of God, every single one of you in that building and out of it are his children, and this word is for all of you. So to remove the condemnation from PKs, to say that that scripture didn't skip you because your parents are now, you know, pastors. But I also now want to speak to the parents of the PK. What would you say are things to look out for that, you know, we saw at that conference with parents and their children, parents in ministry?
I think parents in ministry first need to allow their children to be children. You know, allow your child to be a child. If the child is noisy, if they're messing around, you know, let's start with toddlers. You know, there's no toddler who will be perfectly sitting there, you know, doing the right things all the time. No, children are children. We have them in our house, you know, and they're terrorizing us. But guess what? We love them. And I'm not talking about bad behavior in terms of being naughty. Yeah. You know, we don't allow that as parents. But children explore. Children are going to break things. Children are going to, man, you're going to buy toys that you think, oh, man, this is just right for them. And it's going to break. They're going to throw it. That does not mean anything. But the child is a child. And if you've got teenagers, understand that they're teenagers. They're going to question. You know, them questioning things does not make them disobedient.
Or demonic.
Or possessed. You know, no. Take time to deal with your child's questions, you know. One of the things we were actually told regarding one of our children is, you know, she is going to ask questions and she wants to know things that other children don't necessarily care about, you know? So take time to parent your child so that your child doesn't feel that when they see you engaging with the congregation or people one-on-one, that you give to people what you don't give to them at home. So it's very important. And then maybe most importantly, because I remember growing up in a church where, you know, like traditional black church, the pastor's always there, especially on Christmas, you know. And I always tell the story of how I left that traditional black church to more of a white church in the suburb. And, you know, Christmas, the pastor left on holiday with his family. And I was just shocked, like, man, the pastor's missing Jesus' birthday, you know. I remember it was just shocking, you know, and I'll send him a shout out. It was Pastor John Raymond, you know, and it was just the weirdest experience for me, you know. But we have to teach pastors that your family
is
your first ministry. You need to go on holiday with your family on Christmas, you know. if you're at church this Christmas, next Christmas, you have to go away with your family. Don't just pour out to the church at the cost of your family. Mm-hmm. That's not right. Mm-hmm. The Lord will not honor that. Honestly speaking, you are actually being a stumbling block to your children if you are doing that. And maybe you also saw that being done and you think that's normal We're here to tell you that's not normal.
And also, if you accustom the children to the fact that there will be time for them,
yes.
Because these calls, be it on a pulpit or in a surgical room or in a courtroom, these calls can be all-encompassing, right? Yes. It can take you away for so long because so much is needed.
Mm.
But if you accustom your children to the fact that there is time for work and there is time for play, I mean, that's scriptural as well, right? There is a time to grow, live, die. Ecclesiastes goes into it in a lot of detail. But the children need to understand the parents' call. That's another part of it that, you know, I really picked up when we were at this conference, is that we continue as parents. So we have a call to ministry and we just run with it. You know, we never actually sit with the children and say, this is how mommy and daddy have to work now because this is now time for us to do this. But don't worry, in 3 weeks, we've got a holiday planned or whatever. Then it contextualizes for the children. And this is at any age. It really contextualizes for your family that right now, mom and dad have appointed time to ministry, but we don't need to worry because they appoint time for us as well.
Yes.
So when, you know, you were speaking about how we just go, 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 because when the Spirit starts, you know, the Spirit just goes, we have to also remember that there are people that we are tending to.
Yes.
Now, as the parents in ministry, I actually heard this from a PK as well that was saying that one of the biggest stumbling blocks for PKs is sometimes that what I'm talking about on the pulpit, I'm not doing at home. That's another thing that really, that's why when I say as the congregants, we don't have a clear enough perspective of the wholeness, the reality of the pastor's child, because you can make mistakes with your children. And they're like, oh, that's just how mom is.
Yeah.
They're not in the boardroom with you watching you be super professional. Mm-hmm. And then they think to themselves, wow, she can be that organized? She's a mess at home. I'm always cleaning up after mom, you know? But as a PK, there's a morality to this call. There's a morality to the call in ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
A certain, at least I would say heaven's moral of how we walk and speak and conduct ourselves with people. And a lot of the times when it becomes performative is when the children pick up on those things. There's the performative aspect of what you're speaking about you don't do at home. And so this is perhaps a whole nother episode of how to be
consistent at home.
Yeah, but I think it's more than consistency at home. I think that working out your own salvation in truth as the pastor who is called, because what happens a lot of the times is the Spirit is speaking through us, but no longer to us. Because we've hardened our hearts because of whatever it is that's going on with us. But the call is now doing things and it's making room and it's doing all these stuff, but we've just become a vessel, right? And our own salvation has kind of taken a pause. And what happens is that the child doesn't know how to understand that God spoke through a donkey. So it doesn't mean that because he's speaking through you, he's speaking to you. So what do they think? Hypocrite.
Yeah.
This person's a hypocrite. They don't live like this. They don't do this. So the importance of living
like
your truth.
Separating the man of God and the Spirit of God.
Yes, the man of God and the walk with God.
Yes.
That you're also on top of your personal walk with God. You know, when you stand in front of the congregation and say, oh, the fruits of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, whatever. And your child's just looking at you like, I ain't never seen no joy. What are you talking about?
You're always stressed. You're always angry. You know, you're not trusting God for finances. You're pressured about the finances at home.
Yes.
We all have to go to our bedrooms when daddy comes home.
Because we're scared of daddy. And also the faith thing. And this is one of the things I'm really going to speak about, because a lot of the times we're prophesying on pulpits breakthroughs that are not happening in the home. Now, this one is a little bit trickier. And I believe this particular one is why scripture says your home is your first ministry. Because when you're preaching faith to the congregation and you're saying, oh, God will provide, but the fridge is empty. And this is what this particular young woman said to me. She said, Tish, my dad would pray for people, miracles. They would get cars. They would get this. In the house, we had nothing. Nothing, not even bread, nothing to eat. And what it did to me, she said, it hardened my heart towards God. Because I was like, who's this God that's providing for everybody, but that's not providing for me, right? Mm. So being really in tune with what is happening in your home, what is the season in your home? Mm. And I would bring it back to communication. Because sometimes you will actually get a word from God about your season. God can actually say, hey, you're about to go through a season of turbulation, but I will be with you. I will be with you. A lot is happening, but I'll be with you. So imagine you sit with the children and you say, this is what the word of God has said, right? But don't worry, God will make a way for us. Then you preaching something else on the pulpit is not that bad because of context, right? We sometimes speak of this thing of sameness. We think we're all in the same season and God is saying the same thing to us when God is really individual about the messages he's giving the different families. Mm-hmm. So if you're in tune, I call it a spiritual self-awareness. If mm-hmm. you're spiritually aware of what's happening in your home in that season, that needs to be established before we stand on the pulpit and start giving these corporate words that the kids are like, this isn't happening in our house. Mm-hmm. So today, we just really wanted to expose, you know, how the enemy, I believe, let's call a spade, mm-hmm. works in all of us to kind of keep pastors' children in this box. And the need to act out comes from all these things that we've just mentioned now.
So it's really important as a church to exercise wisdom and, you know, to really be aware of the pastor's family and his wife and his children, you know, because when we always interrupting the flow of a family, the Lord is also going to hold us responsible for that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of you also, you get blessed, you'll meet a pastor, they'll toil with you. And once things go well for you, you disappear. You don't come back and honor that family. You know, some of you just need to just get your pastors on a holiday, you know, and like during that time, you know, keep their phones or something and do the counseling, you know, spread out their responsibilities. It can't be that everything, you know, is on the pastor's shoulders 365 days in a year. And even as I say this, I'm thinking of a lot of situations we've counseled where you can just see that the man of God and his family
are falling apart,
are carrying too much. Yeah. You need to give them space to be human, mm-hmm. to be a family. Mm-hmm. And also even at night, some of you just don't give them space as a married couple.
At midnight,
you're calling. You know, we need to consider that, look, that's maybe time they need to be, you
and,
know,
and the Holy intimate Spirit. The
and
Holy
really
Spirit is there with
have
you.
A one-on-one time, you know. So guys, please, let's respect our pastors. Let's give them space. Let's allow them to actually, you know, be present in their families, you know. And for all the children out there, we'll be praying for you. You know, you're not a mistake. You know, you're not called to be perfect. You're called to be a human being. The Lord wants to reach out to you, and the Lord will indeed continue to grow you.
Yes, and as the festive seasons are coming through, please enjoy time with your family. And also remember that the Holy Spirit is always there with you. If you're in that situation where you need your pastor at midnight, it's God who's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Always remember that.
Yep.
That's it.
We'll
from
see
us.
You next time. Stay blessed. You're with the Vambillies.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.